So you were talking a little bit about the two different research groups, but then let's go back to sort of finishing up the research around the lights. They did the light bulb, then they did the experiments around the circuits. They did that basically for 2 days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so.
And at center time, John went back to it.
So how did that end and what was next?
Well, when that was a couple days, and then the next morning, research workshop, I posed a new question. And I tend to start a research workshop with a question, one of those big, not a big question, but a full question that has a lot of possibilities for discussion. So I said, okay, well, we've got the light bulb going on. Everybody figured that out, and that was great. But how can that happen in a car? Because you need like more powerful lights in a car. And so there was a little discussion about that, and you know, talking about bigger lights, bigger this, bigger that. And somebody said, well, you know, you need a bigger battery. Maybe you need a bigger battery. And so we actually that day went right outside to my car, which was parked in front of the school. The whole class went, opened up the hood, and we looked at that bigger battery. And some kids had already seen those batteries because, you know, there are always kids who's usually dad or uncle or somebody has, you know, opened up the hood of a car for them to see. And so we got to see the bigger battery. And then I realized that it would be I didn't have any resources in the way of books to help them understand how a car is wired, because that was one of their questions. How do they get the lights to go on in the car? And so because I had talked to the custodian, I knew he was the perfect person. So Vinny came to the class, and it was so exciting because they just hit him with so many questions, and they knew a lot already. Remember, they had made a circuit already. They'd done that for a couple of days, and they did it at center time. They knew a whole lot, and so they, as they were asking him questions, he could see that they knew a lot, that he wasn't starting from the basement. You know, they were starting with the whole, they had come to the interview with a lot of information. And so he was so excited. And so he explained things, you know, answered their questions. He drew diagrams. We have a Drymark board at the interview. So he was drawing pictures, and he had brought materials to show them, so that it was a real hands-on interview. And it was so exciting. They have interview journals. Each child has a journal. It's a steno pad. And they put, you know, write his name on the Drymark board and the date. And during the interview, they take notes.
And beforehand, do you have them generate a list of questions?
No, I rarely do that.
Did you have any preparation in terms of the interview, or did you just tell him that Vinny's going to come in and talk to us about the cars and lights?
Yeah, I that's all I did. No preparation. I set it up. They knew, you know, a few days in advance that Vinny was coming. They waved to him and, you know,
right,
talked to him in the hall. And so he comes to the interview. He came to the interview and to kind of frame it so that the questions go in the direction, you know, it's not about his family. You know, Vinny, we're so great that we're so glad you were able to come to this interview to answer our questions about the lights and cars. So I really kept it real narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did all the questions. They asked all the questions.
Uh-huh. And so then Vinny was answering the questions, and so where did you take it from there?
Well, during any interview, I will stop at various points to help them develop a better understanding. Sometimes we'll even do a role play during an interview to help them understand a concept, or we'll stop and have a little discussion, and they take notes. I give them time to take notes before we start new questions, So I want to make sure that everyone's there at the interview, not just the kids, you know, who are asking the questions, or not just the kids who are quick, or not just the kids who know English very well, not the kids who are, you know, quick, you know, but everybody. During the interview, we stop and we have role plays, we have discussions. So I make sure that everyone is understanding it, and I watch as they're taking notes. And that's part of the assessment. I want to make sure every child is with us and understanding and gaining the information that Vinny is giving us. And also, besides information, Vinny loves cars, and you can see it. And so I want them to see there's somebody with a passion about something, and he knows a whole lot that he can teach us. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and then they wrote their notes, and then after every interview, it could be the same morning, or it could be in the afternoon, or sometimes even the next day, every child writes a page. We have lined paper that has various numbers of lines. They get to choose how many, mm-hmm. and there's place for a picture. There's some pages that don't even have room for a picture, but they get to choose their paper. Every child writes a page about the interview. As they're writing, I put certain words from the interview on our word wall, and I put them usually on like a different color, not a white card, but a blue or a purple index card, so it's easier for them to spot those words. Mm-hmm. And I'll put those words up temporarily on our word wall, and so that if they need the word light, if they need the word wire, words that they may not be able to sound out yet, mm-hmm. it's up there, so I don't have to edit. Mm-hmm. They edit. Mm-hmm. It's always trying to empower them to take over those responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And then I take those books home and do a final, you know, I white out all the erasures and so on. And if there are words that are still misspelled, you know, at various times in the year, my standards go higher and higher. But if a word is misspelled, it's not in standard English, I'll put it above the word that they've written, mm-hmm. because we then put all those pages together and make a book, and I have
put in a lot of their notes. There's invented spelling and everything else. It's just
yes.
a finished product where you put in the
writing workshop. There's some editing at various points in the year. There is editing, but it depends on the time of the year how much editing there will be. So we have give you a copy of the book. You have the book, okay. And this is the interview of Vinny, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person who then came back for part two interview, and he made a traffic signal. They requested it. Hmm. He made a traffic signal for us, and he showed us it's the same thing with the circuit.
Uh-huh. And why did they request the traffic signal?
They had asked a question about it.
Uh-huh.
And we had seen on one of our trips, we saw some people fixing a broken traffic signal. After that, I found out at lunch one day that the traffic signal on our block near our school was broken, and so we took one of those spontaneous trips out. It's a neighborhood walk, so you don't need special permission.
Uh-huh.
So we just went quickly after lunch and watched a police officer directing traffic, because Second Avenue had a traffic signal down, and there was so much honking. And so they're so excited, because that's a practical application of what Vinny had done mm-hmm. at the interview with the traffic signal.
Mm-hmm.
We also, you know, it takes a little while to get this book ready and pages numbered, and you know, I do that work at home or when I'm visiting my dad in Buffalo, you know, I'm on the airplane, you know,
right.
Teachers have our job doesn't end at 3:15. After about 2 weeks, a book like this would have been ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is our reading book. This was our reading book for 2 or 3 days of a week. This is these homemade books every single week. These are our reading text.
So
and we do word study with books that they have written. So you can imagine, oh, there's my page.
Uh-huh.
you know, oh, look at, there's my page. And the excitement of creating the book that's your reading lesson, and then these become part of the homework.
Mm-hmm.
These get sent home. Some of the concepts that we do during our word study, whether it's about some phonics or about quotation marks or about some spelling issues or words like transportation and translucent, like the windows,
mm-hmm.
translucent, transparent, those things become the homework.
Mm-hmm.
So then the homework is connected to the study of lights.
Mm-hmm. And so Vinnie came with the interview, then you worked on the book. At that point, had you answered all the questions about lights? Where did you keep going?
With Vinnie? Vinnie answered every single question they had.
Wow.
About lights and cars. They kept going. They had three questions there. That interview was ridiculously long, and I never would subject children to sitting like good little boys and girls, you know, like, you know, hands folded. No. When I see that the kids are fascinated and they're all focused on an interview, I will not stop the interview,
mm-hmm.
unless we have to go to music or science or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that interview, the first one with Vinnie, lasted way, maybe an hour and a half.
Wow.
And you would think that that's not nice to do to kids, but when you see the kids begging to ask questions, wanting to ask questions, and recording the answers, and participating in the role plays, and, you know, so excited, why would you want to stop?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have the interview, and of course then they know Vinnie, and then they see him around the school, and,
right.
and he's not just the custodian.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more. He's more of a full person to them.
Mm-hmm. But then, so basically, did that finish the study of the lights?
Yeah, that was about it. I mean, we could have thought of other things, but we basically answered their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, with the earlier studies, when we've done that, and we look back at our list of questions,
mm-hmm.
we've basically answered them, unless I can think of some really important topic that was missing,
mm-hmm.
then we're done with it. And then I'll tease them again.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you ever to ask another question or something like that. And I say, oh, come on, you're teasing us. We're always going to ask questions about lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, and it's so funny because now when they go in a car, or a bus, or subway, or in their home, and they're looking at lights, particularly if they're in a vehicle, they'll be able to explain it to people.
Mm-hmm.
And in explaining it to people, they will find people who, of course, who know more than they do, and they will learn more.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, one of the things you want them to learn is this, is the content, you know, sort of to learn how a light bulb works.
Yeah.
But, how did you know that, I mean, so you could have stopped the first experiments around the light with the circuit. You didn't
uh-huh.
have to go on to the second day.
Yeah.
How did you know that it wasn't done yet?
Because they were having too much fun.
Uh-huh.
That's all it was. The information wasn't in deep enough,
mm-hmm.
deeply enough.
Mm-hmm.
They,
how did you know?
Well, because they had just figured it out,
mm-hmm.
sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And I say sort of because, you know, with invented spelling, another word for it is approximated spelling, they're just sort of going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just sort of understanding it, getting a little bit of understanding. Well, you don't stop them when they're just sort of like touching it.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to try it again and to experiment, and how can they make it stronger? How can they make it work more easily? How can
mm-hmm.
they avoid some of the problems of the first day when they
mm-hmm.
were trying to figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
So you want them to have a chance to do it more. And then, you know, we provided more time for them at center time
mm-hmm.
so they could do it more. Then Jediah had to ask the question, can't we do this at home?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they know I'm open to that. And I said, well, we'd need a lot of batteries and bulbs and wires, but we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an expensive proposition, actually, it turns out. Mm-hmm. But we had planned, the other group, there was a group studying about marble and granite and other building stones with one of the student teachers. And a part of what we did, we went to Home Depot because a former parent from my class came in for an interview. Mm-hmm. Parent whose kids are in high school now came in for an interview. And she knew a lot about the granite and the marble and some of the other building stones, and she invited us to go to her job at Home Depot, where she works in the kitchen display area. Mm-hmm. While we were at Home Depot, I asked her, could we go to the area where they're selling the bulbs and the batteries and the wires? And so with the whole class went there and we bought those supplies. In addition, I put in the homework, if anyone has batteries, bulbs, or wires, please send it in. So we got some that way and some by buying it.
Mm-hmm. But what about your other goals? I mean, overall, when you think about your goals for this research, we've talked about the content, we've talked about some of this social justice. Obviously, with the books, there's some writing and reading. Are there other goals that you're trying to accomplish?
One of the bigger goals, I mean, the facts, to me, are not the important thing, because you can teach kids how to look up the facts, how to get information. So memorizing the facts about the wires and the batteries and the bulbs, it's not critical, as far as I can. That's my belief. I want them to learn how to do research. Mm-hmm. I want them to ask questions. I want them to question things. I want them to take their questions and search for answers, and I want them to search for answers in a whole lot of different ways. If I can help them develop the skill to inquire, that's a lifelong skill, and that's really important. I also want them to be critical thinkers. Not everything that they think they know is accurate. Not everything that they see on TV is accurate. I want them to be able to ask questions and find different ways of finding answers, finding multiple resources so that they can, get more accurate information. I want them to be able to have a dialogue with other children, with their peers, and with their families. I want them to think critically. And so often I'll ask questions and just keep pushing them to probe. And I ask questions in a way that they're not going to nod their head yes or no. That they have to think. And that they have to hear what the other child says. And the other thing I love them to be able to do is to see connections. For example, when somebody said, oh, that's that Rosa Parks thing, and they were talking about Lewis Latimer, I want them to see connections to events in history. I want them to see connections to books we've read, fiction or nonfiction. I want them to see connections to poetry so that they can see that life is something that's connected.
And so when you think back on the lights and the vehicle unit, I mean, to what extent were kids, did you achieve your goals? Are there things that you wished maybe that, that you've been able to accomplish that you weren't?
Yeah, one of the goals I have also is developing self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And there's some kids who really can relate to messy stuff like bulbs and batteries and tires and glass and breaking glass, I mean, there's some kids who love it, girls and boys, who just love that, the thrill of inquiry and the thrill of working with stuff that's kind of messy and building and creating and experimenting. And in the process of doing that and having kids become the experts or the teachers, so you develop self-esteem. You always have kids in your class where self-esteem is so weak, so low, for a multitude of reasons. And this research is empowering, and kids develop the ability to talk and to explain to each other, explain things to each other. And so self-esteem is developed in the process of doing the research.
Right, so that was another one. But in terms of the lights and the vehicles, were there some kids who maybe didn't get as much out of this as you wished, or that was it a smashing success? I mean, how did you feel about it in terms of the development of their skills and in these other areas?
It's not always even. There's some kids who went hook, line, and sinker. They were totally and completely involved. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they get the most from it. Mm-hmm. There are other children who didn't get as much, who have difficulty, for example, focusing on the work, where I tried really hard, because I'm always watching what's going on, tried really hard to make the lesson very active and very physical. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there are few children who learn better that way and are able to focus better when it's very active and very physical. Mm-hmm. Did they get as much as some of the others? Well, it depends on what you were talking about. Did they get as much? Did they learn as many facts? No. Did they learn a lot about experimenting? Yes. Did they have the thrill of experimenting and being successful? Yes. So with some kids, the big deal was learning so much about this because they're fascinated. I mean, mm-hmm. There were several kids who were absolutely fascinated, but there were other kids where the big growth was not in information gained, but self-esteem gained. Mm-hmm. So you're measuring different things. Mm-hmm. If you were to do an assessment test and say, okay, now here, tell us about lights and batteries and bulbs, there would be some kids who would get 100% and some kids who would get, mm-hmm. But that's not measuring what they gained.
Yeah. But are there things, you know, looking back on this, things that you learned from doing the lights, or things that you might do differently next time based on what you experienced?
Always. That's why teachers lose sleep. But some of us lose sleep. You know, it's in the planning and it's in the evaluating. And I spend a lot of time evaluating what I've done. I spend a lot of time every Sunday morning or afternoon, half of every Sunday, looking back at the week and preparing a newsletter, you know, for their families about what we did. Mm-hmm. And I take that time, it takes me so long, because I take that time to, and other times also, to look at what happened. Mm-hmm. And even after each research workshop, I worry about the kids who may not have been, who I didn't reach, mm-hmm. or I didn't reach enough. Mm-hmm. And how can we do this tomorrow?
And if, in particular, thinking about the lights, the experiments, or the whole project, or the things that you've thought about that you would do differently next time?
I would give them even more time, mm-hmm. to mess around with it, to experiment with it. Mm-hmm. If I had more time, I might have, I question whether I should have waited till they all got it that first day, or let it roll over to the next day. I also don't like leaving certain kids hanging and not, mm-hmm. you know, I don't mean that way, hey, right. But not having accomplished it when other kids have. Mm-hmm. So I really tear myself, I really work these things through, you know, think about these things and wonder if I should have given them more time. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked a question, should we have told the other group? Mm-hmm. How we got things going, and you know, then that creates a little uncomfortableness, to use improper English,
right.
In me saying, hey, I should really think about what Tom was saying. Mm-hmm. Should we have done that, or should we have just let the other group work on it at center time? Mm-hmm. What did I want to accomplish? What was it? Why did I let them explain it. Mm-hmm. Who was I trying to support? My research group kids or the other kids? And so I'm always getting uncomfortable. And, you know, I have some friends who are also teachers, and we like to be uncomfortable together. Mm-hmm. We like to tear ourselves to deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not uncomfortable about what you've done, you might want to choose another profession. Because there aren't any perfect lessons. I mean, I've taught 33 years, and maybe it's easier for me to come up with the questions, and I have my bulbs and batteries and materials around. But there's no perfect lessons. And you always have to question, did I reach all the kids? How can I reach all the kids? Am I teaching to the whole class or to a certain group in the class? And you always need to question your practice. And so, yes, I would never, first of all, I don't like to do the same study over and over again. But there have been times where I've done the study of, because first graders often like to study about cars and trucks, you know, if they're doing a neighborhood study. So there are some repeat topics, but they're never, ever the same each year. Because you have different resources, but you also have different kids. And you have to figure out how to reach every child.
Mm-hmm. And you hadn't done the batteries and the lights before.
I hadn't done the batteries and lights before in the context of cars.
Uh-huh. But you've done circuits or...
I'm just trying to think of why we talked about Lewis Latimer before. It was not in the context of cars. It was some other study, but and of course my son had studied about him in first grade. Mm-hmm. So every year you're learning a lot about ways of approaching different topics. Mm-hmm. But it's very rare that I would do something the same way I did it the year before. Mm-hmm. Because you're always trying to improve your practice. Mm-hmm. Or you should.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is great, Paula. So thank you very much. And we ran out of the videotape there, but we have you on the audio tape, so hopefully we got it all. But,
oh, that's funny.
thanks again. So
you're welcome. Is that what that bleepy thing
that's
was?
That's exactly what that bleeping thing was.